It is just past 8:08 in the morning, and you're listening to Upfront. I'm Antonia Yuhas. So we began this morning hearing some quite dire predictions coming out of the governor's annual climate assessment that just was released on Tuesday. Among the many dire predictions was fire, a lot more fire. And among those striving now to avert such devastation are people who have already experienced some of the worst fires our state has already dealt. Last October, wildfires tore through Napa, Lake, Sonoma, Mendocino, Butte, and Solano counties in the Northern California wildfires. 2 months later, the Thomas Fire began, ripping through Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. At that time, the largest fire in California history, a record that's already been surpassed, the fires laid the groundwork for subsequent devastating mudslides. Those seeking to avert these fires are taking action here in California, here in the Bay Area, starting September 8th. As the governor hosts a global climate action summit, people are gathering from across the state and across the world demanding bold action on climate justice. The actions start on September 8th with what organizers hope will be the largest climate march in West Coast history. Among those marching will be some of our guests joining us today. Our first guest is Davin Cardenas. He's co-director of North County Organizing Project in Sonoma. Thanks for joining us, Davin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also joining us via Skype is Naira Pacheco. She's the 805 UndocuFund coordinator with MICOP, Mexico Indigena Community Organizing Project in Ventura. Thanks for joining us, Naira.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Davin, let's start with you. Can you talk about organizing in Sonoma in the wake of the fires and why UndocuFund was one of the choices that your group made for how to confront the impacts of the fire?
In the immediate aftermath, I think there was just such a feeling of instability and some degree of chaos amongst everyone here, but also people's natural instinct to help one another and try to come together, those who could. Our organization, the North Bay Organizing Project, along with Jobs with Justice, the Great and Day Labor Center, and grassroots communities for immigrant refugees, came together because we understood very quickly that the immigrant population was not going to be able to access federal support or even state support in the aftermath of the fires, even though they had lost everything, and even though they were being displaced at massive rates. So we thought, okay, well, then our duty has to be to step up and try to assure that they have some degree of economic financial stability in the wake of the fire, so that they're not, so one, the not only their personal belongings that have lost can be recuperated, but also many people lost work, many people were just forced out of the area for weeks on end. And so we said, okay, let's provide some degree of economic security, or at least some form of help for the undocumented population here in Sonoma County, to try to avoid the displacement that had already been taking place prior to the fires because of the housing crisis. And so that was the original impetus for the UndocuFund coming together.
And how hard was it to organize for undocumented immigrants? Were people afraid to come forward to receive help, afraid to offer help?
The help started pouring in. We had very humble and modest efforts that we thought would begin the process, but actually people from all across the country, from small towns, from, you know, people doing lemonade stands or whatever it might be, they were sending money from all over the country. And so people really stepped up in their support and their care for the undocumented population here in Sonoma County. And the undocumented population also, I think the need was so great after the fires, the need was great before the fires. So there was actually a strong desire and will to come forward. We also created a very trusting atmosphere. You know, we have a good reputation in the community, and our outreach workers were you know, very well placed to receive the people. And so I think that also added to the fact that people were willing to come forward, tell their stories. We were able to assess their situations and provide support economically.
And Naira Pacheco, you're joining us from Ventura. I read in the materials that your organization has gathered that there's an estimated 126,000 undocumented immigrants who live and work in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties alone. I hear that you were inspired by the work in the north to start organizing an UndocuFund where you live. Can you talk about the impacts on your community and then the success of UndocuFund?
Sure. I am a resident of the city of Santa Barbara.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for that correction.
Santa Barbara County. No. And so the fire really impacted both Ventura County first, where the fire started in Santa Paula. And then by the second, third week, it came out to Santa Barbara County. And so by the time that it got to us, we had already been also impacted by the effects of the smoke, the ashes that were coming our way and moving through the winds. And I think that just brought up a lot of issues in Santa Barbara County. We had more so a little bit more time to prep in advance for what was coming and what we had seen started in Ventura County. But nonetheless, a lot of similar issues arise, and especially impacting our undocumented immigrant community. And so within the December and January, when the fire was coming out, there were a lot of, it's something that's really not included in the narrative of what happened during these fires is not only the folks who lost their homes and had property that was directly damaged by the fire, but we often don't include the experience and the effects of workers in all of the many areas that were affected by that, right? We think about the people who owned homes, who had to be evacuated, et cetera, but not about the workers themselves who were put at risk. And so in Ventura County, a large part of that is farm workers, and a large part of our recipients through the 805 UndocuFund are farm workers who may not have had property that was damaged, didn't live in an area where the fire was approaching, but because of the smoke and ash, were very much in hazardous situations where they were forced to work, often without masks, often without protection, often really having to put their own health and jeopardy on the line. And in Santa Barbara County, we saw a lot of folks. It's a wealthier community that's really much more focused on the service industry and domestic labor versus agriculture. And so that comprises most of our recipients in the UndocuFund in Santa Barbara County. And what we saw there was not only folks being out of the job because the homes that they worked with, the restaurants, et cetera, were being closed down, evacuated, but also undocumented folks being trapped in the mudslides that followed the fires when the rains came, and also undocumented folks who were killed by the mudslide, which is also, again, something that's not included in the narrative and discussion of who's affected. It's often just framed as folks who lived there, who owned homes, etc. But really, a lot of the folks who don't have access to funds to evacuate, to rent out hotel places, to move their family entirely, were a lot of the folks who had to stay in the area regardless of the voluntary or mandatory evacuation notices. Mm-hmm. So I think that was something that was really difficult and challenging for folks. Schools closed down during that time period as well. And while that was a safety precaution, that creates a big the problem for working class folks who don't have the money on hand to pay for babysitting. Again, who don't have the money to have the access to the same kind of protection in situations like this, who don't have the privilege of having savings in communities where it's already very difficult to live, very difficult to afford housing, etc. So that's really something big that we saw is the way that working class undocumented immigrant folks were impacted. Aside from that, just getting access to information, emergency information, safety information, as the fires and mudslides were occurring, was a challenge in both counties, because there was a lack of language access. And in Santa Barbara County, that's really, the need was for Spanish language interpretation and translation. But then in Ventura County, we not only have immigrant communities that speak Spanish, but we also have a large population of indigenous immigrant communities, folks who are coming mainly from Mexico, from Oaxaca, Mexico, who speaks Mixteco, who speaks Zapoteco, Nahuatl, etc. And the information wasn't provided in Spanish, much less in these languages. And so thinking about the hazards that creates when a community doesn't know that there's a boil water advisory happening, that they don't know have the proper information for evacuation, is a real concern.
So we were just hearing from Naira Pacheco. She's the 805 UndocuFund coordinator with MyCop. She is based in Santa Barbara. Also with us, Davin Cardenas, co-director, North County Organizing Project in Sonoma. I'm going to ask the two of you to stay on, and we're going to bring in, while you stay on, Lucas Zucker. He's director of policy and communications at Central Coast Alliance, United for a Sustainable Economy Cause. Thanks for joining us, Lucas.
Thanks for having me.
And where are you based?
I'm based in Ventura.
Great. Okay, wonderful. And you have been involved in similar organizing efforts in response to the fires and ongoing organizing within these same communities. And I know that you're also organizing youth to come to the Bay Area for the climate justice marches and other organizing that's taking place. Why is it important for you to do that organizing? Why bring people here for the September 8th march and other climate justice events?
That's right. So my organization, CAUSE, as well as two other organizations, including MyCop, are started the 805 UndocuFund. So many of our youth and our grassroots leaders helped in the UndocuFund clinics, helped working to distribute protective respirator masks to farm workers during the disaster. And so we're bringing a bus of folks up from working class immigrant neighborhoods in the Central Coast up to San Francisco. You know, our communities often aren't associated in the media and the public eye with the environmental movement, but we're actually the ones with the most at stake in terms of climate change. And in many cases are really the ones leading the climate movement on the ground, fighting to stop oil drilling, stop power plants in our communities. And so our folks are going to be marching because we've been on the front lines of climate disaster and really seen what it means for our communities, our families, for folks who are laboring, picking in the strawberry fields under choking wildfire smoke without protective masks, who are, losing jobs in destroyed homes. And while homeowners might receive insurance and other assistance, immigrant workers are denied FEMA assistance due to their immigration status. And so I think what we've really seen across the country and across the world is, from the hurricanes in Houston and Puerto Rico to the wildfires here in California, we see how people of color, lower-income people, immigrant communities are hit hardest, often in ways that are unseen and ignored, and often without the kind of assistance and resources that other communities have.
And talk about organizing. So you're still organizing to deal with the impacts of last fall's devastating fires. How prepared are your communities? And we'll start with Lucas and then ask Naira and Davin to come in as well. For the next fires, for the next devastating impacts of climate.
I think we're better prepared than before. There have been some systemic changes that have been made. For example, the County of Ventura has hired a Spanish-speaking public information officer to ensure that the next time around there's much better language access in a disaster. We've been working with the ag industry and with local government agencies around trying to create a plan for distribution of protective masks in the fields. The next time we have the 805 UndocuFund set up and plan to keep that open. As we are seeing it, particularly with the climate assessment that came out from the state, we know these wildfires are going to continue to become more frequent, more severe, and we need to have all this continually in place as our region, which has always been a wildfire area, mm-hmm. Really sees that devastation increase. still, you know, there's really no level of preparation you can make for this level of devastation. And what we really need are systemic solutions. We need to move away from an extractive fossil fuel economy and towards a different kind of economy that really, really values our community's health, really values our clean air and water, and puts an end to this climate devastation.
Well, let me actually then, sorry, piggyback on that question. Davin and Naira, is there organizing with your communities on policy solutions such as organizing to keep fossil fuels in the ground, looking at stopping the climate destruction as well as dealing with the devastating impacts of the climate destruction that's happening right now? Why don't I start with you, Naira?
Yeah, so within the 805 UndocuFund, our mission is really to support the immediate relief that undocumented communities need in the post-disaster. Mm-hmm. And so a part of that is just that there's not a lot of like systemic transformation around that, but it's important. The work that we do is important because it highlights the systemic gaps that exist that we need to look at and that we need to bring to light through policy. And so a big part of that, I think, when we talk about environmental justice movements is bringing to light the issues that people of color face in these systems in which housing is not affordable, in which working wages are not livable wages, and how these systems are rooted in environmental injustice, such as the agriculture industry, that exploit not only our land, our resources, but our people. So I think that that's a big part in just recognizing that immigrant rights, worker rights, tenant rights are a part of this environmental justice movement. And I know that CAUSE, which is also a founding organization of the 805 UndocuFund, has supported a lot of the work in fighting for tenants' rights, particularly in Santa Barbara County, where we're talking about rent control, we're talking about tenants' protection in connection to the effects of these fires and what it means for our communities to not even be able to afford to relocate, right? And the impacts that climate change has widely. Mm. So I think it's just really important to bring in that intersectionality within the environmental justice movement.
And maybe if I can speak to that for a minute, in Oxnard, our community, a lot of the same youth that are coming up on this bus worked for the past 4 years to stop a fossil fuel power plant that was being proposed. All of the power plants for our region, for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties, are concentrated in the city of Oxnard, which is 85% people of color. When a new one was proposed, hundreds of people turned out to hearing after hearing, traveling up to San Francisco, Sacramento, trying to convince the California Energy Commission to stop this project. Oxnard has some of the highest asthma rates in the state. And so we actually were successful in shutting it down, and it's really been a huge historic moment that actually led to a lot of other power plants across the state being reconsidered. Southern California Edison, our utility, is now moving forward with using solar power and battery storage to replace that power plant due to the really staunch community opposition that fought back and said, no, our community is not going to be sacrificed again. Our health and our climate is not going to be sacrificed. After that victory of that four-year campaign, we're also now working on stopping the redevelopment of an expansion of an oil field in Santa Maria, which is another community that's 75% Latino, predominantly farm worker community, where folks are dependent on groundwater for drinking water and on that groundwater for our agricultural jobs. And so there's a proposal to open up 750 new oil wells outside of the city of Santa Maria. And so folks in that community have been working to stop that, leave it in the ground. This is, these are communities where essentially all of the easy to get good oil has been extracted, and what they're trying to get is the kind of deep, dirty crude that's down there, and kind of the tar sands like sources. And so we're saying, don't drill for that oil. It puts too much risk for our community's water in fracking and other similar extreme extractive methods. And we need to value our community's health first.
And Davin, why do you think we only have a few seconds left? Why is it important for others to come and join you all on September 8th marching in the Bay Area?
Well, I think this is actually our theory of change, right? Is that we show up for one another from across the state and across the country. We'll be marching on September 8th. We're also participating in the Solidarity to Solutions Summit from the 9th to the 14th, where frontline communities are going to be gathering to form a counter narrative to what Jerry Brown is doing, what the state is doing, and kind of this green capitalist model. We're talking about the frontline solutions that come from us. And I think this is a space. The march on September 8th is also a space where we get to live our theory of change, that when we're talking about the intersectionality, we can actually manifest it. And so we're here to support ourselves, but we're also here to support the struggles that Lucas and Ida were just talking about, and from people across the state that are actually offering solutions from the frontline and the grassroots communities. So we know that the climate affects us all, and it affects our wages, and it affects our ability to treat each other kindly, and it affects our ability to pay the rent. And so this is going to be the manifestation of that. So I think this is why we're participating, and why we're making the call for people from across the state and across the country to also participate.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. Our guest, Davin Cardenas, co-director, North County Organizing Project, Naira Pacheco, 805 UndocuFund coordinator with MyCop, Lucas Zucker, director, policy and communications, Central Coast Alliance, United for a Sustainable Economy. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.